On the back of your worship leaflet today, Luke the 17th chapter, 11 through 19. And just a little background here again, Samaria and Samaritans were not at all appreciated by the Jewish people. Now, Samaritans were partially Jewish in their ethnicity, but they maintained their own temple on Mount Gerizim. And they still maintain a group of older priests and their families live at the base of Mount Gerizim. And they do various sacrifices, much like their ancient predecessors did there. And that's under Arab control. It's on the West Bank. They avoided the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. And there are still around 250 Samaritans left, actually living, 250. Some live under, as we said, Arab control on the West Bank, and others live in Israel south of the city of Tel Aviv. You know a little bit more about Samaritans. Do you care? Thank you for feigning interest. Luke 17, starting with verse 11 through the 19th verse. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. That could be a sermon right there. As they went about their duties, as they went about their mission of love, as they went about obeying God, they were healed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Ouch. Well, there you are with 9 other lepers. What a terrible disease. Truly terrible leprosy. First the loss of feeling, then the loss of hair, feet, hands, nose, eyes. Your own family treats you as some grotesque monster, and you subsist on alms given by strangers, offerings that you might receive from begging. And from time to time you cry out, "Unclean, unclean," to warn away the unsuspecting. What a terrible, terrible disease. At times, though, misery loves company, and thank heaven for those fellow lepers. But deep in your heart, you long for the company of whole persons, people who have not been so disfigured. But that day, for you, you think, is over. You'll never hold your wife or children again. You only have the company of other lepers. At least the 10 of you can band together and comfort one another, commiserate together. There you are with 9 others. You've taken up your daily vigil beside the road that cuts through central Palestine. And begging as an occupation also invites daydreaming. Perhaps on my one and only trip to Jerusalem, there was a man who wanted to look biblical. He had his blanket out, and he had some robes on, and he had kind of a wooden tray, and he was in Hebrew, wanting alms. So the Westerners from Canada and the U.S., you know, took out their dollars and their quarters and put it on his little platform then, and he was without sight. He was blind. However, I noticed when I dropped my quarters and they made a sound, he opened his eyes and looked directly at the place where I placed my coins. Now, does that mean he didn't have a need? No. Did that mean he maybe was exaggerating his need? I don't know. I won't charge you extra for that one this morning. Nine others, you've taken up your daily vigil beside the road that cuts through. Begging is an occupation. It invites itself for daydreaming. And perhaps in a daydream, they thought some wealthy, generous stranger will pass by and bestow upon them a princely sum of money. Well, it could happen. It's a nice dream to dream anyway. But meanwhile, someone spots a stranger approaching. And he does not look too prosperous. He's followed by some other men, and someone in your group recognizes him. He's that famous rabbi, your friend whispers, and those are his disciples. Someone else speaks up. I've heard about him. I hear that he is a healer. Maybe he will help us. It's worth a try, says another, and he begins to cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They almost chime in chorus. And Jesus pauses a moment on his journey, turns to you and your friends, and with an expression of compassion, he says simply, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, not a physician. In the Old Testament law, it was the temple priest, not the doctors, who alone had the authority to pronounce a leper cured. So, you and your nine friends dare to dream the impossible dream, make your way to the temple to show yourselves to the priests, and you stumble only a few paces until the healing power of God begins to really make itself known, and you can scarcely believe what is happening to you. It's too good to be true. But it is true. You feel new strength arising in your limbs. The terrible spots and sores are disappearing, vanishing. And now all of you are laughing and cheering. One member of the group does a little dance in the middle of the dusty road. You're slapping each other on the back, hugging one another, almost delirious with joy. And soon the priest would be pronouncing you clean once again. You would be able to rejoin your family. You quicken your pace as you make your way toward Jerusalem. And it is true. They experience, amazingly, fantastically true, you are healed, and this rabbi from Nazareth has done it. Well, now wait. They do a head count. One from their number is missing. Where could he be? And later you encounter him at the temple, and his face is shining with a radiant smile. Well, where have you been? They ask. So he tells his story. He said, when I was healed, I couldn't help myself. I began praising God with all my might, and then I remembered I had not said thank you to the rabbi who healed me. So I ran back to where he was, fell on my knees, and gave thanks. And I was surprised to see a bittersweet look on his face. I guess he wasn't used to a Samaritan bowing at the feet of a Jew. I heard him say to his friends, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give thanks to God except this foreigner? And when your friend walks away, you silently bury your face in your hands and you ask yourself, why? Why didn't I go back? Why didn't I go back and say thank you? Have you ever forgotten to say thank you? I know that I have. Some of the memories, even from childhood, still sting. Juanita Alvarez didn't have a chance to express gratitude, and some of us know the paralyzing terror that can grip a parent when they see one of their children perishing or near to perishing. Our middle daughter, Rebecca, is a diminutive size-wise. She's tiny but mighty in other ways. We let her go on an old-fashioned wooden roller coaster at an amusement park, and thank heaven her first cousin, our nephew, was sitting with Rebecca, because at the peak of that wooden roller coaster track, I was paralyzed because I saw Rebecca float up, literally, by gravity, into the air. And thank heaven, Tim, our nephew, reached out and literally pulled her straight back down. Wouldn't want to miss Rebecca, you know, she's the mother of my grandchild and Ruth's grandchild. Well, Juanita Alvarez didn't have the great chance to express her thanks, and there was that terror that a parent can have when they see one of their children in grave danger. And Mrs. Alvarez saw her son, 10-year-old Juan, being swept to his death by a vicious riptide near Gilchrist, Texas. The boy who walked into the surf was doomed almost from the beginning because he can't swim, couldn't swim. And then, I know it sounds kind of corny, but then a Boy Scout. Mrs. Alvarez recalls, his name was Alec. The scout ran out, grabbed Juan, trying to hold his head above water, but the scout was in danger of drowning himself. Juanita stepped into the surf, fully clothed, taking Juan from the scout, who, exhausted, began making his way back to shore. And the last thing they saw of Alec, the Boy Scout, was he was limping along the beach with bleeding legs and feet. Well, the next day, Juanita was more calm, and she called the Houston Chronicle and told them the story, and she said, "He was hurt, and we didn't even get his last name. Will you please tell him how grateful we are? Will you run an ad of some kind, maybe a front page article? Thank him for us. Thank him for giving us back our son." The mother wanted to say thank you, but was understandably overcome with emotion. And I think that may have been true for 9 of those lepers here in Luke 17. They would have said thank you, but they were caught up in the sheer emotion, the sheer delight of the minute. So only this one returns to express thanks. Now, why is it important to take the time to say thank you? What are one or two practical applications that we might remember? Well, saying thank you, first of all, I believe strongly, is a sign of character. A sign of good character. None of us has much respect for the person unwilling to take the time to say thanks. If there's anything that really bothers me about a young person who I'm reasonably sure has enough maturity to know how to say thanks, and you're welcome for that matter, is that they refuse to say it. Now, Ruth is often with me, and she says, "Now, you know, tone it down. It's all right. They're learning. They're still a kid. All right." But that irritates me. What do you think, Aaron? Yeah. Aaron says that too. Does Luke ever do that? Forget to say thank you? I bet he doesn't that too much, does he? No? How about Fred?
On a good day.
Some baseball savvy people remember, what is wrong with the Cardinals? Is today the turning point? So they're not going to lose? They're not going to lose today, are they? Because they're not going to play. Some of us remember Steve Carlton, who's now in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And maybe the most effective left-handed pitcher of all time. And for his era, he was also the highest paid professional athlete, over $1 million a year. Now, this was back in the early 70s. What isn't widely known is that in 1973, after a season in which he had 13 wins but 20 losses, Steve Carlton asked the Philadelphia Phillies to renegotiate his contract. A binding, long-term contract that could only be broken by mutual consent. Now, professional athletes ask to renegotiate their contracts all the time. The difference is that Steve asked the Phillies to reduce his salary. How's that for character? He was so grateful for the opportunity to continue to play baseball, and he expressed his gratitude in a concrete, tangible way, not wanting to take advantage of the team that still believed in him. Saying thanks is an expression of character, moral and spiritual fiber. Jesus praises the Samaritan who comes back to share deep appreciation. "Your faith has made you well," said the master. And isn't that humility on Jesus' part? Not "I have made you well," "your faith has made you well." He knew that that quality in any individual, he acknowledged that virtue as being great. Daily, yes, but still great. A sign of character. And also today, saying thank you keeps a channel of love open. It keeps a vein of love and goodwill, appreciation, Christian love, empathy, all of that, it keeps that channel open in a person. For example, when we write a thank you note, aren't we in effect saying not only that we are grateful, but also this relationship is important to us and we want to keep this relationship alive? That's why expressing appreciation to God is so valuable. Thanksgiving and praise are among the most effective ways of keeping open the wellsprings of relationship between ourselves and the Heavenly Father. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And of course, the most effective way of offering thanks to the Holy One is to pass His blessings on to other people. If you have been blessed, and I know everybody here today has been, share a blessing, large or small, with someone else. A man was on vacation with his son's family at a rented college not far from the New England seashore. And one morning, the son awoke to his father out on the front lawn of the cottage, digging a hole in the ground. And the son quickly put on his robe and went out to see what his dad was up to. The father explained he was planting a tree, a chestnut tree. The younger man said, "Dad, this isn't even our cottage. And a chestnut doesn't even bear fruit for 8 or 9 years or so. Besides, we'll probably go someplace else next summer." And the man thought about this more, and the son thought about it even more. And finally he asked his dad, "Dad, why in the world would you come out on this hot morning on your vacation in a rented college to put out a tree that won't even bear for another several years?" And the father paused and looked up at his son, and he said, "I saw a beautiful chestnut tree the other day, and I realized that someone 20 or 30 years ago wanted to share it with me as well as thousands of others. And in a way, he planted it for everybody's enjoyment. Someday," I said to myself then, "I'm going to plant one so people can enjoy it after I'm gone, and that's what I'm doing this morning." Planted a tree. What's the best way to say thank you? It's to share blessings. Pass them on. Give and it will be given to you. And how do we express gratitude to our parents for the sacrifices they made on our behalf? Well, I hope that at least sometime or another we can tell them we love them, of course, and show them respect and caring. But essentially, the most important step, I think, the most important step to say thank you is to be good parents ourselves, to pass on what we've received from our own parents. Let's strive to be excellent parents and grandparents, one another, every day. So, in the scripture today, only one returned to say to our Lord, "Thank you." One. That's the way it goes sometimes, but saying thank you is important. It's a sign of character and an appreciative spirit. And remember, having good character is a lot more important than being a character. Keeps the channels of love open with God and others. And the best way to pass it on, what we've received, is to go out and do and share and love. In Jesus' name, amen.